Wake up, everybody. It's You Get the Blessing, Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts featuring Ray Charles. How do you like this? Don't you wish you could play that, Bob, on the electric piano?
Oh, man. How about in the movie, I'm spacing.
Ray?
Jamie Foxx?
Oh, yeah.
Plays his own piano, man.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, you want in on this?
Sure.
This is our guest, Kyle Speller.
Hello, everyone.
How do you like this song, Kyle?
Is this, Not Your Mama, Not Your Ba?
Yeah. Yeah, try not to sing, though. We just sort of talk over it. We like to start this show every Sunday morning with some music to wake you up. Listen to this now.
Hey, mama, don't you treat me wrong. Come and love you, daddy, all night long, all night long. Hey, hey, all right.
Keep it going.
Oops.
Where were you?
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
All
got
right.
that off.
Let's get going.
Where
here.
Were you the first time you heard Ray Charles? I can remember where I was, and I don't want to tell you because I was a young guy. Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing Day, everybody. I'm kind of fired up today. Are you, Bob?
I'm just enjoying the day. It's a wonderful day, and good to be with you, Bo.
All right, because we got a great guest today, and I wish I could speak like he speaks because he's got a voice that's very strange. But our guest today is the guy that you hear every time you go to the Pepsi Center and watch a Nuggets game. And he's my friend, and he is the chaplain for the team now. I'm still the chapel coordinator for the Nuggets, but he is a great guy. Wait till you hear this voice, Kyle Speller. Kyle, welcome.
Well, hello.
Kyle Speller!
How's everybody doing today? Everybody okay?
That's not him at all. And Bob's over here screaming. See the chaos I got to deal with in here?
Hello, everybody. How's everyone doing? How you guys doing?
Pretty good, Kyle. And you know, LaFonso Ellis kind of had that voice, didn't he, when he was here?
He did. He sure did.
He had a mean, he's couldn't be a sweeter guy. Mean game face, though. You remember it?
Oh, yeah. That scowl, ooh, looked like a big warrior.
Yeah, he was. And he'd sit in chapel. I remember Stith would sit on my left and Fonz on my right, and I'd just be going along, and I'd look over, and somewhere during chapel every time Fonz would start concentrating, he sat on what I was saying, but it looked to me like I'd offended him.
Game face.
Yeah. He put the game face on. I'd say, amen. Chapel's over. I don't want to get hurt. But anyway, 1 hour before tip-off, every NBA team does have a chapel service, and chaplains are volunteers, and you're supposed to invite the visiting team and the home team, and this is my 20th year being involved with it. I did it by myself for a long time, and at some point I realized that when I started 20 years ago, the players were 25 years old and I was 40, and now 20 years later, the players are still 25 somehow, and I'm 60. So about how many years ago, Kyle?
I want to say 3 or 4 years. This is the fourth season here.
4 years ago, I said, what I need is a big, tall, handsome, somewhat black, somewhat brilliant Bible scholar.
Preach.
Preacher and great guy. And I said, Kyle Speller's the guy. Now, we've had Joe Coors, Luis Villarreal, a few others help. But Kyle Speller is the man who loves these Nuggets, takes care of them, is their friend, prays for them. Finds out what they're doing, and that's been fun, Kyle, having you do that with me, and now pretty much on your own, so thank you.
Thank you. It's been a blessing. Chapels, you know, the attendance in the actual chapel service hasn't been the greatest, but what it's prompted me to do is kind of switch the dynamic of chapel to more of outreach, and so I take the word to them. I meet them right at their locker and pray with them or whatever, training room, wherever we are, even out on the court, wherever, in the hall, in the VOMs, walking on their way to court. We'll stop, we'll pray, and make sure that we have that covering and just planting little seeds all along the way by any means necessary.
You've done well adjusting because the league has changed so much in 20 years. I know the team, the other night was different. We were on the road, but usually get in there like 5:30 by 6:40. The coach wants them for a pregame talk, and then they're out for warm-up, but they got an hour and 10 minutes. Chapel used to fit in there, but now
with treatments and
exactly
the technology of the computer and the coaches sitting there one-on-one going over stuff and the stuff up on the board and the practice gym upstairs and the
weights and warming up, conditioning,
ticket requirements and
food
appearances and eating. It's you're doing it the right way, friend.
We're just going after him. And my prayer before I even walk into that arena is just, Lord, just cause me to sit down. You rise up within me and you speak. You set the divine appointments. I'll be there. And so I go get prayed up and I head over to the locker room and I just ask the Lord to just, help me to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing in each of these guys' lives and help me to be able to speak directly to whatever is going on. Sometimes you can see what's going on in their lives and just give them words of encouragement or whatever right then and there. Sometimes you just got to spend a little bit of time with them and before you know it, they're sharing what's going on. And so it's really been a blessing. And like I said, I never got discouraged or anything by the actual chapel setting. Just because it has just been just a natural transition and I get a lot done prior to the games and it's just been a blessing.
You know what I appreciated about when we started together was I said, just sit here in chapel with me, maybe for a whole year. And not that I'm anything special, but half the battle there is not messing up because they really, believe it or not, are coming to the arena to play a game, not just to listen to you and me talk.
Right.
But you are so great in bringing a handout every time and asking the guys, what can I pray for? And just got a great connection with those players. So they're blessed to have you. And I wanted Bob to play Ray Charles, What I Say, because people that don't know Kyle Speller or think they don't know who he is, they're going to get to know him right now because anybody that's ever been in that Pepsi Center, the voice you hear as you're thinking about What I Say is the booming voice of Kyle Speller. So move your face back from that mic and familiarize these listeners with something you might say in the arena because he is the PA announcer that's calling every bucket, all the intros, all the information that's out there.
That's right.
Persuasive language, loud language, and encouraging those players with something like what?
Mellow. And everyone at home said, Mellow.
There it is. Did you invent that?
I did. I can't take full credit for it. Harry Belafonte is the one that invented that.
That was Deo, man.
That was Deo. And
is that where you got that?
That's exactly where I got that. There were, in arenas, they'll play Deo, and you can hear the crowd chant back, Deo. And
how does this sound, by the way, speaking of Harry Belafonte? Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight comes and we mon go home.
I know Kyle sounds a little better than you do on that bow.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, it's coming out. So I didn't. It's good connection there. Give me one more and then we'll move off of this subject.
Just pregame introductions. Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to meet your Denver Nuggets.
All right. That's the one we know. All right, Kyle. So you've grown up to have this booming voice. You're big, you're tall, you're handsome. And I want to go back when you were a kid.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about what your family was like and a little bit how your faith journey started with Christ.
Mm-hmm. For me, I grew up right here in Denver. My mother and I'm originally from New York. And my mother and I, we moved out here in 1979. So I've seen a lot of these buildings be built. Grew
Kyle,
up.
Quiet down, man. We've been here since the 30s.
Okay, you got me beat. But I grew up in the church, but didn't know the Lord. And I remember at one point, I think I was about 12 years old. I didn't know then, but I can look back now and see that it was a calling of the Lord on my life. There was a program that we did at New Hope Baptist Church, and myself and two other youth were a part of that program. And it was during that experience where I felt at some point I would be doing some kind of ministry later on. But of course, I didn't know exactly what that was back then. grew up, went to Regis High School here, graduated there, went on to Eastern Wyoming College and played basketball down there, and then on to Adams State College is where I finished out my hoops time.
You were pretty darn good, weren't you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I could have been a lot better. The same stuff that I'm encouraging some of the players with, those, some of those same lessons that I picked up from those, some of my mistakes that I've learned, those are some of the same things I'm trying to share with them right now.
Give me a game day memory. What was your best night out?
Let's see. Best night out. You know, I have to go back. There was one we were playing down at down in Alamosa. We were playing against Colorado School of Mines, and I don't remember what my points, what my scoring was on that night, but it was a great night for me. I just remember that. I remember getting some free lanes to the hole and really showing some leaping ability. And
are you being humble? Because I can remember shooting 17 for 21 from the field and bagging 35 points in the state semifinals here, 1967. So you don't really have any numbers on that game.
No, we never made it to state. Sorry.
It's not much of a game day memory. So at some point you stopped playing, even though you loved it, and you thought you might have a shot at the NBA, didn't you?
Yeah. I graduated, and the whole time my prayer growing up was, you know, Lord, I'd love to play in the NBA. I'd love to get a chance to play in the NBA. And after graduating college, I went straight into ministry, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and was the urban director there. But the whole time in the back of my mind, I was hoping for, you know, a chance, you know, for God to open the door. And so I graduated in 93 and nothing happened then. But kept working out, you know, on the side, making sure I'm in shape, kept playing, doing this and doing that. And years went by. I wound up going back east, playing on an exhibition team, and just really keeping that dream alive. And it was about 97, and about that time, the dream finally, I kind of grew weary. Yeah, I kind of lost hope and lost faith, and grew faint. And then all of a sudden, the phone rings, and it was Dan Issel at the time. And Dan Issel happened to be one of our board members for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he was going to give me a shot. And so I was excited, but as much as I was excited, I wasn't prepared. And I got into camp, and this is 98, and 98 just so happened to be, I said, Lord, this is finally it. But then 98 was a lockout year. And I was like, oh, no. And so, but then 99 rolled around, and he called me again, and I wasn't prepared, was not prepared.
You mean like overweight, what, hadn't been in the gym?
Hadn't been in the gym as much, tried to cram, went and worked out up at CU and trying to get, you know, in game shape and all, but yeah, just not prepared. And had I stood on the word of God, had I trusted in God's promise, I would have been prepared, but... You know,
don't be so hard on yourself. I was going to ask Bob about prayer, by the way. Doesn't prayer work best, like if you want to be a basketball player, if you're like 6'9", really fast, can jump, shoot, rebound? Or what's the combination there we're seeking in terms of prayer?
Yeah, well, you know, I was just reading this morning about faith like a mustard seed, so I don't know, maybe if you're 5'7" and have enough faith.
Because I'd still like to play for the Rockies this year, maybe a little center field, possible first base because my speed slipped a little at age 61. But hey, don't be so hard on yourself, Kyle.
Well, I definitely look back at it, and it's something I'll be able to pass on to my sons, my daughter, and I pass on to many other youth now. And so it's just something that the enemy meant to destroy me with. God will use it for my good.
Well, I can tell you this: I signed with the St. Louis Cardinals and played 2 years of minor league ball. All I ever wanted to be was a baseball player. Mm-hmm. And the last time anyone asked me for my autograph was with the St. Pete Cardinals in the Florida State League in August of 72. Mm-hmm. And these two little boys came up, about six-year-olds, and the one guy said, Mr. Mitchell, can I have your autograph? And the other kid said, what do you want his autograph for? He hadn't got a hit in a week.
Oh.
And they turned and ran off, and I was thinking, the truth shall set me free. That
freedom.
Was about it for me.
Freedom.
So. Everybody plays their last game at some point, Kyle.
Right.
And now these games are important and a lot more meaningful for you. So how did this come about that you're with the Nuggets and with Pepsi Center and Kroenke Sports.
This particular time, and it actually originated there at the rookie free agent camp. We were at South High School, and at that time, I'm not sure what his role was, but there was a man that was involved with the organization and by the name of Tommy Shepard, and you may have heard of him.
Good friend. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I loved Tommy Shepard.
And so,
what did he call me? Brother Bo.
Brother Bo. All right. But I had spoken to him back then because I also had the dream of being the announcer of the team.
No way.
Yes. And so I had spoken to him back then, but there were no opportunities as well. And so ultimately what happened, and at that point I said, Lord, if you give me a second chance at, you know, something, I'll be ready next time. And what wound up happening with Tommy is he wound up taking a position with the Washington Wizards. And I said,
GM?
I'm not sure what role, but I just know that that's where he went. And I said, oh, man, here we go again. But this time I wasn't going to lose faith. I wasn't going to grow faint and just keep on pressing. And so I would call the game entertainment people every 6 months or so, just trying to keep keep it in their head that I was interested, that there was someone out there interested. And nothing ever came of it. Then one day, because I'm a Nuggets fan, I was always on the Nuggets website. One day I looked at the homepage and it just said, grab your microphones. And I looked at it and saw, I immediately called my wife and clicked on it. And she's like, baby, that's your job. And so, honestly, at the facility that I work at, we have a studio there and I do a lot of voiceover work there and all of that. I went into the studio. The instructions were to create, you know, a player introduction the way you would do it if you were the public address announcer. I literally went into the studio in 5 minutes, put together an introduction the way that I would have done it because I had been doing it in my mind for years. Put it in there, sent it in, and they called me back, and they said that mine was the only one that they liked. And I've been there ever since. I actually have the voicemail on here that when they called me back.
Wow, good things happen to good people, huh? And you were so faithful.
Praise God. So it was all God.
And you're much more to that arena than just a PA announcer. You are a positive flow of energy every time I'm around you. And the Lord shines through you, Kyle. I'm sounding like your grandpa here, but I'm very proud of you. I've never seen you off. I've never seen you have a bad moment, much less a bad day. So you got the joy of the Lord in your heart. It comes right out through your face.
Praise God. My prayer also in that arena is that even though I'm announcing that, that the people wouldn't be hearing me, that they'd be hearing the Lord, that they'd be hearing the voice of the Lord. And so that's my prayer.
A lot of people are going to come to Christ if they think the Lord's coming with your package. Like, hey, buddy. Knock that off. Get on your knees.
I was just thinking, if we ever do a film where we need the voice of God, we should go to Kyle, man, because he's got it going there.
Really? Count me in. Count me in.
What's that actor's name that played the Green Mile, that huge guy?
Michael Duncan?
Yes.
Duncan.
He's got kind of Clark. This kind of voice.
Yes, Michael Duncan Clark. Yeah. So he was actually at
fake.
One of the games.
Now, you're not acting this voice. This is actually how you speak.
I'm all over. I've got a range. Definitely have a range, and so that's a blessing. I feel like, you know, every one of us has a gift that God has blessed us with, and so my voice is one of mine, and
it's your instrument.
It is. It totally is. And so I can go way up high, and I can come way down low, and all.
So, I just think your normal speaking voice is sort of good. In fact, you got to be doing this show instead of me, Bob. Here's your new partner. So tell us about your family, Kyle.
My beautiful wife, we've been married 12 years. We have an 11-year-old daughter and twin 9-year-old sons. And those are, they're just so special. Each of them, their own individuals. And just watching them grow. And I have great children. And my wife loves the Lord. And we're just seeking God and really just want to be used by Him. And my son's names are Christian and Christopher, and I named them their first names after their heavenly father, Christ, and their middle names are Kyle, after their earthly father. Daughter's name is Tyler, and my wife Tamika. And we met in the church. I tell you, we met in the church. I was singing in the choir, and she was down in the congregation. And instead of focusing on the Lord, I kind of locked in on her, and I was rocking from side to side. And I said, "Uh-oh, wait a minute. Could this be you, Lord?"
So you're saying this started with Eros love, the physical dimension.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that bad, Bob?
I think that's where it usually starts.
You do.
You just got to take it a little past that. So
the good thing is we still got it going on.
Yeah, well, we don't want to hear any more. Yeah. Appreciate you sharing that. We got a listening audience that just wants to block that out. This is You Get the Blessing. Our guest is Kyle Speller, one of the great guys I've met in a long time. And Bob, what is it about a spirit like this that just lights the room up? Because that's what we're supposed to be in the world, is salt and light. Sometimes I think as Christians we take things just a little too seriously or something. But don't you feel this joy that I'm feeling here every time I see Kyle at the arena?
Well, I was just, when you were talking about how you pray when you go, you know, into the locker room, I think that's a lot of the key to it, just to, that we really are supposed to be kind of vessels that, you know, that Christ can not only live in, but live through. And you know, we used to use the illustration of like a stream that, again, that the Spirit of God just wants to flow through. And oftentimes we sort of erect dams in the stream that keep that flow from going. And I think when we surrender like Kyle's doing and walk in and say, "Lord, you know, you speak through me, you give me the words, you orchestrate," you know, he's got the package going there that really kind of positions you to be used.
People were drawn to Christ. I mean, they wanted to hang around with him. He had personal magnetism. That's what you got. Mm. And you enjoy the friendships you have with those ball players. I mean, the subjects are just vast. It's not always Bible prayer. You're just a friend, aren't you?
Right. I'm really, for some, I'm at the same level. We're spiritually, we're able to pray together. We're able to spend time in the Word. We're able to do whatever. There's some there that I'm there. I'm literally mentoring, you know, and it's just all across the spectrum. The Lord is just kind of opening doors, and each and every one of them, I'm able to speak to each and every one of them in their own unique way, and I just know it's the hand of God. I really do.
Where do you
really
work, Kyle? I forgot. Comcast.
I do, the Comcast Media Center, right down the street there. Well, down
your
the
heart
highway.
Belongs to the Lord. Your soul belongs to the Nuggets. But your rear end belongs to Comcast about 8-10 hours a day.
I have to say that as much as I enjoy when I'm at the Nuggets game listening to Kyle, my favorite introduction Kyle has ever given was at the Promise Keepers when he introduced Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that just blew the roof off the place. It was very cool.
People stood up and went crazy. How was that inspired? You just think of it the day before?
No. It was actually done before by a comedian by the name of Steve Harvey. Oh,
yeah. See how honest he is? You could have said,
Oh, no.
Came to me in a dream. No, I stole it.
Well, the thing that he did was, and I don't know, for whatever reason, he was not allowed to say or chose not to say, but he never mentioned the name Jesus Christ. And everyone knew who he was talking about, but he never said the name Jesus Christ. And so I always felt like, you know, he missed the best part. And wow. But I always wanted to do it as soon as I saw it. I wanted to do it in my own special way as well. And so that Promise Keepers event was a perfect opportunity.
Was that the first time you'd done it?
That was the first time.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yes. And so it turned out to be a blessing, and it was just, that was powerful.
I don't think you can pull it all up right now, but you want to pull off a little piece of it? Because we're going to close out here in a minute, but let's hear Kyle do this. And Kyle, thanks for who you are and what you stand for and what you do for those great players and staff members down there at the Pepsi Center.
Well,
let's hear this intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor of introducing a man that needs no introduction. His face can be seen on every church van across the country. His father is the author of the best-selling book of all time. He is the lily of the valley, the shining, bright, morning star. He is the great I Am. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Most High, Almighty, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right. Another light morning here for you, and you get the blessing. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Speller. Kyle.
Thanks for listening, folks. See you next week right here.